We ready to go then? All right, cool. Good afternoon, everyone. How's it going? Everyone having a good tech ed so far? No, it's good. It's cool. All right. How many of you all have heard about the SQL Server 2014 CTP1 is now available? A couple of you? Has anyone gone ahead and downloaded it yet? Just one guy so far? All right. Well, I bring it up because I'm very excited to be able to say that SSDT just got a new version released yesterday, day before yesterday, and it's actually including support for SQL Server 2014 CTP1. So to me, that's very exciting news, the fact that I'll be able to go ahead and start working with 2014, be able to take schemas from the current 2008 or 2012, whatever I may have, and be able to import those over to SQL Server 2014 CTP1 and start working with that and playing with my data and seeing how things work. Just gonna go ahead and actually bring that up. All right, 2 seconds. Oh, right, in case I forgot to introduce myself. I'm Aaron Nelson. I'm from Atlanta. I've been working with SQL Server for about 15 years now, and really, really, really excited by the new features in both SSDT and in SQL Server 2014. Let me clicker. Sorry. All right. So, what are SSDT database projects? Database projects are for maintaining the full lifecycle of your databases. You can use SSDT just for simple version control as you're making changes and development, or you can use it to integrate into a continuous build environment. Continuous build and stuff like that is outside the scope of this session, but it's definitely something that you can do and something that they were well aware of when they started working on SSDT for database projects. You can download the latest version that came out just earlier this week on that link right there. You can also go to the SSDT team blog. Let's see. Gotta try and find the right button, sorry. All right, so what we're gonna demo today, just to give you guys some highlights about it, we're going to be taking a look at schema comparisons, how it works with changes, database snapshots, refactoring, database drift detection, the publish. We're going to see if we can do these two last ones that are new features, and I've only had a short amount of time to play with them, but they are custom compare list and data compare. Is anyone excited to see data compare on there finally? No? One guy in the front? One guy in the back. All right, so we got two. All right. Well, I guess just to make sure that you guys are in the right session, this is not about the replacement for BI Development Studio. If that's what you're expecting to hear, I'm sorry, this is only about database projects. I realize that they have the same name. That's not my fault. this is only about the database projects, comparison, DAC packs, data compare, all those cool new features that they've been rolling out to us. In case you do need that, it's a completely separate download, and I've included the link there, and it'll be in the slide deck. And if you get up and leave, because that's what you're here for, I won't be offended. So I believe that's really all the slides I've got for you now. Let me go ahead and let me see if there was anything else. There's some online resources in the slide deck in case I forget to get back to them later on today. Definitely would recommend checking those out. And they're available in the slide deck. And there's also, if you were looking for the replacement for BIDS, there's some videos from Tech Ed North America that'll help you out. All right, so let's see if we can get started here. All right. Punch this up, make it a little larger so you can see it. How many of you are using SSDT for database projects already? Oh, only a couple. Okay, all right. Interesting. So how many of you follow along on the SSDT blog? I'm guessing not very many of you. No? All right. So I'd highly recommend adding it to your RSS feed reader, whatever that may be. That's how I found out that we had a new version available in time. And at first I took a look at it and I said, well, it's day before I'm going to do a demo. There's no way on earth I'm going to install that thing. Who knows what could possibly go wrong? Then I went and I read what the new features were and realized that we finally have ourselves a data compare. And I was like, oh, dang it. There's no way I can do a session on this and not show them that. I mean, we've been waiting for like an entire year to get that. It's finally here. So I decided to chance it and go ahead and install it. So I played around with it. If you got some questions, we'll try it out. Not an aficionado on the data compare because it's only 24 hours old. But the rest of it I've been playing around with for a good while. And hopefully we'll show you some cool new features here. How many of you have worked with the old DataDude projects? Only a handful of you as well. Okay. Show of hands, how many people are using something for database version control right now? A few more hands, about half. All right. Everyone else is just chancing it? Well, all right. Then, is there anything else? See, data compare. They also added a list for the tables, but I think that's it. Their team blog is at blogs.msdn.com/b/SSDT. I think I've got a link to that in the resources, but definitely want to call that out because they've been making updates to it every couple of months to SSDT, and it's not like you get Management Studio with 2008, and then the only time you get an update is when it comes out to 2008 R2 and then 2012. You're getting rolling updates pretty frequently, and they'll actually notify you inside of Visual Studio. How many of you are using Visual Studio 2012 Ultimate or Professional? Okay, most of you. All right, good. I guess I should have asked, how many of you are like database administrators or database developers? Okay, and how many of you are just application developers? Okay, all right. Is there anyone who doesn't have Visual Studio 2012 installed? Okay. They do have a 2010 version of it, so I just wanted to point that out. I'm not really going to cover that. It's equal. They do the same thing. And in fact, if you create a database project in 2010, in SSDT 2010, and you open it up SSDT 2012, it'll actually go back and look at those projects and be able to see them. All right, so let's go ahead and dive in. We're going to start basic. So I've got two SQL servers I'm working with here today. I've got my own local machine, and then later on, we'll work with another machine that has no databases on it here. Zoom in to let you see those. So to start out today, I'm just going to go ahead and create a database and create a table in that database. And then I'm going to import that as a project in SSDT 2012. When we do that, we've got a new SQL Server database project. We're going to call it my CRM. It's going to create a directory structure for us, all that normal stuff. One of the first things that we're going to do here in this case is we're going to go ahead and do an import. And I'll zoom in so you all can see that. Do an import from a database. Okay, click that. Come over here, We're gonna choose a database. I believe I've already done this once, so it's in there. Yep, AdventureWorks 2012. So it's got my settings already there for that. In addition to just importing the database, it can, the schema, it can also import your permissions for you and any database settings that you might have. Come down here and click start, and then I'll control 4 out. I guess I can leave it zoomed in. So it's going to go through there, and it should, this is a database that we just created. It's only got, I did AdventureWorks, didn't I? Got myself out of sequence. As soon as AdventureWorks finishes, I'll swap back. There we go. Sorry. Let me cancel that. Yes, we'll go ahead and save that. We'll delete it. Let me do that one more time and point to the correct database this time. And select my database and grab my CRM, test the connection. We're good to go. Import it. And that one should be a lot faster this time. All right, excellent. So we go in here under this DBO folder, and I'll zoom in so that people can see this. Go under tables, we see we've got a customers.sql, and that's the one that I just created a minute ago. Now, as I've clicked on it, it went ahead and brought up the table for us so that we can take a look at it. Now, this is a lot nicer than the designer that they've had in the past. Couple things to call out about it. As I go through here and I highlight up here in the top pane, we see that there's a script file down here, T-SQL script, and it's highlighting the same corresponding part of the schema, right? When I go to name up here, it'll highlight name. If I come in here and I do something like decide that this is going to be not null and click off of that, we can see that up here it did have a check mark before, and now it's gone ahead and taken that away. I've spent quite a bit of time trying to trick this and get it to miss something that I did, and the only thing I've been able to produce are my own typos so far. So if anyone succeeds, I'd love to hear about it. But so far, it's pretty solid. Put this up to 150. So one of the things that we can do with this, we've got our database. We've already done a comparison. We've imported our stuff. Well, we can, originally this was only set up to, just do the schema compare, but we can also add additional things to our projects. So let me go over here to add new item and user script, post deployment script. Go ahead and create a new script file for us. I'm going to go ahead and take something I had set aside over here. I'll just show you real quick. See, zero rows returned. So there's no rows in the table right now, but we're going to go ahead and create some. So I've got an insert script here. Zoom in on that so that you can see it a little better. So it says insert into that customers table. I'm going to put in some names. I'm going to let it take care of the identity for me, and then we're going to roll with that. That's what I want my base database to, look like. And obviously we're starting out slow here, but we'll build on this and show some more complex examples here. So we've got a single table. We do that. What we have to do is we need to come over here and we need to build our solution. and have it integrate that post-deployment script into the rest of the project. And then once that's done, we can go out here and we can do a publish. And when we do a publish, zoom in on this so that you can see it. We're just going to go against that same database that we were just a minute ago. By default, it was trying to create a new one for me. So I don't want to do that. I want to compare against the one I had. Go ahead, test my connection. I'm good to go. Okay, rock on. So I've got the database, MyCRM. Publish script is mycrm.sql. It's, you know, getting ready to figure out what's going on, what I need to import into this database. We can create a profile to keep track of the login information and which database, and I'll come back to that in a little bit. Over here, since so many haven't used it before, I'll go ahead and show you that we've got the generate script function, which will go ahead and figure out what the differences are between the database that it has that it's looking at right now and the database that it has defined inside of the project. And it's going to figure out, well, what do I need to do to the database that's out there on the server to make it just look just like the database here inside the project? All right, so it's gone ahead and done that. And we can take a look at the script here. And it's all, I believe it's all SQL command. And really what it boils down to is it's going to come down here and insert our values. So I'm going to go ahead and close this script. Going to go ahead and do a publish once again. All right, and this time, go ahead and kick off publish, and we can see down here, it's gonna go ahead and figure out things. It's gonna do a preview for the publish, create the database script, and then go ahead and execute the publish script on MyCRM. It should be fairly simple to go and find out whether it worked. You can just go in here, select star from the table, and there we go, we've got those rows right there. Now, we can, that's a very simple and very not, it's not built with a ton of smarts to it, if you will, right? They brought in the data compare feature. That's got a lot of smarts there as far as data compares go. This one's a post-deployment script. If we went ahead and deployed it again, we'd end up with a total of four entries in here instead of just two. It wouldn't detect that they're already there or anything like that. It would just do what you told it to do. The data compare feature that they just added, that's what's intended for using, for, you know, keeping track of, you know, lookup tables and things that you need to seed your database to have it ready to go from the beginning. In addition to the post-deployment scripts, there's also a pre-deployment script. So if you need to clean something up out of your databases, get rid of data, maybe cleanse some data, you know you've got some data that's you're working from a backup file, and you every once in a while you restore the backup file and you need to fix some things real quick before you even do the comparison, the pre-deployment script will be great for that. All right. So I'm going to go back to the customers.sql. Let's see if I can do this in the zoom in mode. All right, and now it's too zoomed in. Can you guys see that okay? That's why I keep zooming in, make sure you can. Can you guys in the back read it? No? Okay, all right. Let me shrink it up a little. All right, that's what I was afraid of. Let's see if we can make this happen. All right, so one of the cool things is I can come in here and let me get this up a little bit further. I can decide that I need to add a new column to my database and decide that that's going to be created date and decide that's a date time. And I'm going to allow nulls. And you can see down here in the script pane, it's already gone ahead and written out the script for it, for what it would look like to create it from scratch. And that's what it's going to go ahead and store inside of the project, and then eventually in whatever source control you decide to put this in, it's going to store this create table statement there. And go ahead and hit save on this. Again, I'll do a build. Goes in there, looks like it succeeded. And do a publish. Edit. Tell it that I want my CRM. Test my connection, found it, good. And then what we can do here, do the generate script once again. It's gonna go off and take a look again at the database that's in source control or in the project, and then take a look at the database on the server and figure out what needs to happen. And it's already brought me up the script here. Sorry for the moving around. Oh. And we come down here and we can see that it's decided that it needs to do an alter table to the customers table, and that it's going to add the column. So this is nice that it was able to figure out, hey, what I need to do is just go do an add column instead of drop the table and recreate it with the name, with the definition that was there in the file. And previous solutions, we've had to deal with things like that, or if you try to do it from Management Studio, it would just go ahead and do that for you behind the scenes. Create a new table, rename something, copy rows over, and you know, it'd take a lot of time when all you wanted to do was add a column to your table, and it should just take a couple seconds. So here you can see that it's actually got the intelligence built into it to know what needs to change and to figure out how to do that with as minimal impact as possible. In addition to knowing how to add a column or something like that, if you go and remove a column, it actually has a setting in there to go, if you check it, it will look to see if there are rows in that table before it goes and removes a column. And if it finds rows, it can throw up its hands and say, hey, no, wait, you told me not to lose data, and there's rows in there, and if I drop this column, you're gonna lose data, so I'm just stopping right here. And so that's I guess you would call it maybe a successful failure of the deployment, in that it failed, but it failed for the right reason. It failed for a reason you told it to fail for, which was don't let me lose any data. All right. So I'm just gonna go ahead and close that out. And go ahead and do my publish. Edit. Come down here, grab that same database. Click OK. Hit publish, and we'll take a look. And we can see that very quickly it decided what it could do, what it needed to get done, that it could do it without there being a failure. I did not go in and check that setting that that says stop if there's a, if I could lose data, and I went ahead and deployed it. So let's take a look at our rows here. And then here we go, sure enough, we've got four rows, like I was saying we would, and now we see that we've got our new column added to the table. And we could have added a default on there. We could have used our post-deployment script to set the new column to some value instead of using a default. There are a lot of options available to you. Is everyone following along good? All right. Perfect. Next, we'll move on to a little bit more complicated. So shrink this down for a second. And let me go ahead and close out, let that all save. And fire up Visual Studio again. start a new project. In this case, we're just going to create a new project for AdventureWorks. I've got the AdventureWorks database on my machine. I assume you all are probably familiar with AdventureWorks. So we've got our project. It's just a blank project. See if I can scrunch that down just a little bit more. I might be able to zoom in while I do this. So I'm going to go import database. This time I'm going to choose that connection that had AdventureWorks 2012. I can import permissions, import database settings, and then click on start. And then it's going to go off and grab all those objects and organize them, put them into the solution file for me, and put them all down on the disk. And actually, you can see right there as it filled in all those objects on the right-hand side. All right. Let's see if I can do this within zoomed in mode. So I'm going to go into, human resources, and let me take a look at the tables there. Employee department, department ID, and then let me see person tables, person address. Okay, perfect. So I'm going to go to person address, and by clicking on it, it brings it up over here in the pane, and we can see our different columns in here. We can see the different constraints that are on those columns. It's organized all that information for us. If I were to go and decide I didn't want this new ID on here anymore, tab off of there, decide I don't want that get date on there anymore, tab off of there, you can see that it's going ahead and it's modifying that creation script for me as I go through there. Right? Now, I actually don't want that. Control Z works, which is, I'm always happy when that works. That was my favorite feature of the last version of SSIS, Control Z. So we've got our table here, and let's say I've decided that for whatever reason, I want to rename some of my columns in here. Maybe I'm working with another system and they need to match up, but I don't like that. I don't like the way that looks. I'm a fan of underscores, something. I've decided I'm going to go in here and change this. I can go ahead and, do something here and make it, and it will go ahead and be able to deploy that for me. But all that's going to happen is it's going to try and see if it can, it'll let me save this, right? But when I go to publish, it's going to go and say, hey, look, you got data in that table, and this isn't the only object that's going to be affected. Some other stuff depend on address ID or whatever the column may be. And it's going to say, you know what? You've got the settings that I shouldn't let you do this, so I'm going to go ahead and stop. All right? So I'm going to undo this change real quick. Hopefully. Well, it doesn't look like it's going to let me. There we go. All right, so I'm back to address ID. What I can do is I can come in here and I can pick refactor. And when I pick refactor, I say I want to rename it. So we've got address ID. I decide it's address location ID. And then I've got this preview changes here that I've got checked already for me. When I click OK there, let's get this wonderful screen that's going to pull up for me. Bear with me while I try to maximize this. On the top, it's got just that script. It starts with just that script that we were looking at, right? But here, up on the top, we've got, we're going to make a change to a constraint. Yeah, we got to change the primary clustered key. Take a look further down. Oh, look, there's a view. We're going to have to make a change to that view. Oh, there's another view. so on, so forth. It goes and finds all these different places where those changes need to be made. And if we come down here, take a look. Again, this is just the file itself that it's looking at. We don't have those views in here. But if we were to apply, then it's going to go through and it's going to find all those views, in this case, several of those views, and it's going to go ahead and change the column name in there from being address ID to be address location ID, so that when we redeploy this, we're going to need to redeploy those views and, you know, drop and create, alter, whatever it determines it needs to do, put those new views out there so that the code will work. Because if we had just renamed it, we've got five or six views that would have immediately failed as soon as we had deployed this, if we had just gone and manually renamed it as opposed to clicking refactor. So that's a really important point, is to go and do the refactor and get into the habit of that. I know in when you're on a fresh project and you're working in dev, you know, going through and just changing the names of things and, you know, oh, worst case scenario, I'll just delete the database and start over. True, but if you can get into the habit of going in and doing the right-click refactor, that'll definitely help you out. Did everyone follow along with that okay? Anyone excited by that feature? Couple people? All right. Smiles? Yeah? All right, cool. I was really excited about that feature. Saved me a lot of pains. All right. Make sure I've got a lot of stuff I want to show you, and I literally have 3 pages of notes of stuff to remind myself of. Oh, show them this cool little feature. Oh, show them this cool little feature. So that's what I'm looking at over here. How many of you have worked with the DAC packs, data tier applications, in the past? Anyone? Looks like zero hands. Okay. Well, I'm going to show you some features of what they've got going on now with Visual Studio 2012. I'm not saying that you have to use this feature, but it's a really cool feature that you should at least play around with and check out and see if it's right for you. Maybe it's not. But it's definitely improved from what it had been originally. So go ahead and cancel out of my project. I'm just going to go ahead and leave that the way it was. And let me go ahead and fire up SSDT again. I'm going to have to zoom out to do this part. So I'm going to go in here to SQL Server Object Explorer. And it's going to go and figure out what databases it can see. I've got a couple versions of LocalDB on my local machine. And I've also got a regular developer edition version of SQL Server, which is equivalent to Enterprise Edition. And then I've gone ahead and told it it's able to connect to another instance. It's on a virtual machine that we'll play around with here in a few minutes. If I go into here, find my databases, go to AdventureWorks, and it is extract data tier application. All right. We can come in here, we're going to say, all right, let's point to the seed temp drive. We'll call it my AdventureWorks. We've got some options here: extract schema only and extract schema and data. Once we get to the extract schema and data, we can either select all the tables or we can select a subset of that. Most likely, we're probably going to select, unless it's really fresh, you know, no one's using this application yet, we're probably going to be selecting just a, you know, not all of them, but a subset of these. So I'm going to go ahead and, in this case, and go ahead and pull those all in. I'm going to do include permissions, and then I'm going to click OK. I'm going to zoom out while this builds. That'll go off for a few seconds. I'm going to come over here to my temp drive, and I've got next to nothing in it at the moment. And there we go. We just had something pop up. And you can see that the extension of the file is .dacpack. Now these, again, I just installed the new version of the tools as of yesterday. So I haven't tested 100% of everything historically. But one thing I want to point out is that if you go into Management Studio, SSMS 2012, and you do the extract data tier application, I have been, as of day before yesterday, I've never been successful in getting it to extract the data out of the tables as well. It'll get the schema for me just fine, but if I do it through SSMS, I never was able to get the data. They may have fixed that, I don't know. We'll have to find out. It's going ahead and still processing that. I'm sure most of you are familiar, if we want to go to this AdventureWorks 2012 database, pretty much the only way that we're going to be able to get the data for it and the schema prior to having SSDT 2012 is to go in here, do a task, generate script. We'll never need to see that again. Come in here. In this case, I'll just select our tables to make it easier for us. Click Next. Decide I want to go out to my temp drive again instead. And we'll call it with AdventureWorks with data. Save that. We can do, in this case, we're doing single file. It does have that option to do single file per object. That way you could save it into a project. If we go into the advanced settings, we scroll on down at the bottom of there, we've got type of data to script, and by default it's set to schema only. And in this case, we're gonna pick schema and data. Click OK. And actually don't wanna do both at the same time. Okay, the other one finished. And I'll go ahead and click Next on this and make sure I'm at the right spot. Yep. There we go. So it's going to do that. And while it's doing that, I'm going to show you what we were just able to create with that DACPack. If we take a look, we've got a DACPack that was 17.5 megabytes, right? Now these DACPacks aren't really anything all that fancy. Okay, they're just a zip file with a unique file extension of DACPack so that it knows what to do with it. In fact, if we come in here and change this to say .zip, yes, I'm sure, take a look. We can see that we've got a model.xml, DAC metadata.xml, go look at data. If we take a look at human resources.department, we can see that there's a BCP file in there. And this is the internals of what a DACPack is. So when you're able to extract it with data, that's what's happening. It's not only extracting your schema for you, but it's also taking and creating a BCP file for your table so that you can import it to somewhere else. And by using BCP and then compressing it, they're making it as small as they possibly can so that the footprint is, you know, as lightweight as can possibly be. The fact that they make the footprint so small is pretty relevant. Let's just put this back to what it was so it'll work. Yes. And looks like that with data has finally finished. And I went ahead and scripted it before just in case it took too long or something like that. We can put these two side by side here. And you can see one 17.5 megabytes, the other is 500 megabytes. And I think the source database is about 180 megabytes to start with. So one compressed it and took out 90% of the space when it was, you know, scripting out the schema. And then the other did not. It made it about 2.5 times bigger. So that's why I want to point out there is some value in being able to pull a DACPack. In this case, what we did was we pulled a DACPack that had data inside of it. I'll show you in a minute. We can do inside of the project, inside of the solution, we can generate a snapshot, which actually underneath creates a DAC pack. And as of 2 days ago, I could tell you that it would never include the data. And I haven't tried it yet since the new version came out just yesterday. So we can take a look here in a minute and see if they've made any modifications to that. All right. Perfect. Ooh, just making sure I'm in the right spot. Finish on that. Now I'm going to go ahead and go over to my VM now. Oops, forgot to log in. Go to my desktop. All right. Going to open up Management Studio, and I'm going to show you what we can do with that DAC pack that we just created. So I'm going to log into my machine here. This is that second machine I showed you a few minutes ago. Take a quick zoom in. We can see that there's no databases on here, right? I'm going to come here, right click, see if I can do, I'm going to try doing this while I'm zoomed in. Deploy data to your application. Come down here, gives me a wizard. And click next on the wizard up here at the top, browse, and I've actually mapped over to my C drive back on the host, and so I'm able to find that 17.5 meg file that we just created. Going to come over here, click open. Oh, there it goes. And it's going to sit there, and before it ungrays the next, it's going to check and interrogate and make sure it's a valid DAC pack and stuff like that. Come over here, click next, and then it's going to ask me what do I want the name of my database to be, and I'm going to select AdventureWorks. That way they're the same. That way it makes the comparison easy, things like that. Any database references, and then I want to show you here. It's got a version 1.0.0.0. by default. And what you're able to do with SSDT 2012 projects is create database version numbers. And when you create these DAC packs, you can assign it a new version number as you go along. And that way, you can have it check and make sure it doesn't try to deploy a DAC pack to an older version of your schema than, to a newer version of your schema than the DAC pack is. You want it to deploy to an older version. All right. So I'm going to go ahead and click next. It's going to do initialize a plan, analyzing deployment plan. It's going to create all this stuff for us. Just going to go ahead and zoom out and let that do its thing for a minute. That'll take a minute for it to do. Over here, probably nothing's happened just yet. It's still cranking along. This will probably take about a minute, so I'll go ahead and pause right now and see, does anyone have any questions about what we've seen so far? None? Everyone just ready for lunch to be ready? Oh, question. So the question is, obviously, we just saw the demonstration of the size difference that we've got going on. The question is there a performance difference? I haven't, I've only got my local machine that I've been doing this on mostly. The number one performance difference that you're going to see is that, it takes a long time to copy it, 500 versus 17. And because you have such a larger file, depending on what your disk subsystem is, that could be significant. I'm running on SSDs, so usually it's not too noticeable, but it could end up being noticeable. And especially if we're just working with AdventureWorks here, You know, what if you've got, you know, a lot of seed data that you need, or maybe some, you know, you need to have all your users or all your customers already seeded in the database for you. You know, that could get pretty sizable pretty quick. So performance-wise, I don't have any numbers for you or anything. I would go ahead and assume that, you know, the DAC pack's probably gonna all around be faster or the same, right? I don't foresee it being slower because it's doing BCP, things are zipped. You know, should be a great experience for it. So while this has been going on, it's gone ahead and created the database, and it's gone ahead and created these tables. And we can take a look over here. Sorry. Sure thing. Let me just point out before you ask your question, if we take a look at AdventureWorks, it's still processing, but we've actually got some tables in our AdventureWorks database on this machine that used to have zero databases. All right, go ahead. Yes.
Someone who changes the database directly from that same management studio.
Yes.
Not implemented in the database project.
Yep.
And let's say I do something
sure.
in the database project and try to do a patch.
Yes. Okay.
I know it's a conflict.
Yep.
But how would we handle this?
So that is an excellent question, and I'll let you guys know the difference between a good question and an excellent question. A good question is one that I have the answer to. An excellent question is the one that's my next demo. So I have that exact scenario. So the question is, well, because it's still processing, if you've got your database and you've got your solution and your database has been deployed and it's been out there for some time now, and someone goes and makes a change to the database through Management Studio directly without going through the project, and then you go and you make your change to some other table or to the same table in the project, and then you want to go deploy that to the database thinking that nothing has changed yet, is there a way to discover that and mitigate that? And the answer to both is yes. There's a feature in here called Drift Report. You can have it actually, you can actually set it up. So let's say you take a snapshot of all your databases, right? And you put it into source control, you put it on your local machine, you put it on a thumb drive, doesn't matter. You can then generate a drift report by going and doing a compare between your DAC pack file and the live database and have it detect just the items that have changed, whether there's new schema objects, whether there's been modifications to schema objects, deletion of schema objects. You can find that all out without even having it ready to deploy anything. You can actually do it through the command line and have it just go gather the information for you, and it brings it back to you in an XML file, which I know most DBAs aren't too fond of XML, but for this particular case, it works pretty well, and it's pretty easy to read. It doesn't have a lot of gobbledygook. So this thing's still running. So I'll go ahead and switch over to that demo right now. It's back on the local machine. This thing better hurry up because I actually need that database in place to be able to detect it. So, all right. So we'll walk through the basic version of the demo real quick. I'm going to go ahead and close that out. Open it back up and open project and grab the MyCRM, MyCRM solution. Do a schema compare, or actually we can even do this through the publish task. So let's say I've got connecting to that same server, same database, my CRM, test my connection, okay. right here, this checkbox that I just checked that wasn't there before, or wasn't checked there before, register as data to your application. That means keep track of it, right? Up until now, it's just like, all right, you built a data to your application, a DAC pack, and I don't care, you know? Here, we're gonna keep track of it now. And it has this nice little default that it's going to block publish when database has drifted from registered version. All right, let me, oops. Sorry, I was trying to unzoom and actually cancel that. Let me see if the, no, it's still doing one more. So we'll just do it with the CRM database real quick. I'll go into the CRM, my CRM on the local. And let's do a create table people. All right, just zoom that up real quick. So you can see this is an exceedingly simple table that I'm going to create into that table, into that database. Go back here, do the publish. Now, thinking back to the MyCRM, remember I haven't even made changes to it, right? All I've done is let it be there, and I've, as of, you know, a minute ago, it was exactly identical, right? So I'm not even trying to publish changes in this particular case. I should not have clicked that. That'll take a moment. FYI, when you're at a conference, put your firewall up, okay? At Tech Ed New Orleans, I must have found 300 SQL servers on the Wi-Fi. So don't do that. Don't leave your firewall off. All right. Oh, come on, cancel. Yeah, well, let me cancel. Let me see if this is finished. Yes, this has. All right, click finish. Actually, it's not just that when you're at a conference. You should probably have your firewall up more often than just at a conference, right? All right, so do my CRM, test connection. Register as, and then block publish. I'm gonna click publish. Did it actually, yes, I did. Publish, no. Did it actually run this? Oh, I didn't register it the first time. Let me check my tables. Right there. Oh, output list. Come back here, please. Here we go. Let's try this one more time. Actually, let's go ahead and do it from the AdventureWorks now that we've got it deployed. So this is what happens when I try to ad-lib something. I've already practiced this once over here. So with the AdventureWorks, let's give you a quick tour of it. So we're over here on this other server. Take a look at the properties. Come on up. There we go. The size of this database in this particular case ended up blowing up to 473 megabytes. Probably started around 180, and most of that is probably due to just the log file of it, you know, inserting the rows. If we hit F7, it brings up Object Explorer details here. And go into tables. We can remove something like policy, health state. Do many of you use Object Explorer details? Are you familiar with it? A couple of people? All right. I love it for things like being able to tell me what the row count is of my tables. So I can go and add that column, and then I can sort and figure out which one of my tables has the largest row count and see it right there. Right, so I've got my tables there. In this case, I'm going to create a new table for you guys and gals. And we're just going to give it ID. And that'll be it. So we're in the AdventureWorks database. We go ahead and execute that, get a confirmation that we're successful. And go to Object Explorer details. We've got the creation date that we can sort by, and we should be able to find that at one end of this or the other. We have to refresh. Fireworks right there. So we've got our new table. Switch back to the other VM. Switch back to the host. And I go ahead and open up that AdventureWorks project once again. All right. Get that out of the way. All right. So here, obviously, we can do our schema compare, select target. I don't believe it's actually got one set up for. No, it does not. Create a new connection for it. Oops. Find AdventureWorks, test the connection. It can see it. Okay. And then go ahead and do our compare. Just going through all the normal steps, make sure that you see all the features that it's got in there. That should be fairly fast, hopefully. Well, it's going to take a moment. While it's running, any other question someone's come up with? All right. All right, so there we've got our comparison. In this case, it's deciding that it doesn't like all those tables out there for whatever reason. Not that it's, oh, well, that's a problem. I seem to have neglected to hit save when I created that DAC pack. 2 seconds. Well, slightly longer than that, but all right. SQL Server Explorer solution. New project. Make sure I've got it cleared out of the way. Go ahead, import database from when. There we go. Couldn't pull that in. Sorry for the delay in this. When you're trying to put together something for a group that you're, you know, flying on the other side of the planet to go see them, you try to come up with a really interesting example, and forgetting to hit just one button in the middle of the sequence can get everything off to the wrong foot there. So we do our build, and then let's see, we can do, see if it'll do a publish and detect. In this case, let me go ahead and show you the profile part. So we know that it's, we want it to be AdventureWorks. We can go here, edit this. SDT example. Save password. Make sure it finds the AdventureWorks database. Great job. Okay, Oakley. And then do, believe now we can do create profile. Boom. Once we've created the profile, so you go in, you go ahead and make your connection first, then click save profile. Actually, we'll save it with those settings now. Then we can do a load profile, and AdventureWorks publish.xml is down here. And in the future, we'll just be able to use that profile when deploying this. So we'll go ahead and do publish. I'm going to have to zoom out for y'all to be able to see that. Shrink this up a little bit. And there, yes, we had a successful failure. There we go. So it said creating publish preview, creating database script, all those first couple things that we did. Executing the publish script on AdventureWorks. So it actually goes out and determines what it's going to do. And then as it's going to get ready, the first step is, oh, wait, check and make sure nothing has changed. And then it says, oh, wait, something has changed. And it went ahead and created a drift report and then lets you know that we have successfully done a publish stopped and gives you a fairly useful error message that the database has drifted. And just in case you're wondering, that doesn't mean it got into a car and it was out in, I know you guys love rally cars, so. We can take a look at the previews, we can look at the script that it was gonna build, and finally we can come down here and view report for the drift report. And again, like I said, it's XML, and it's got our object name, fireworks, the parent is DBO, and the type is SQL table. So it lets us know that it was a table. You know, obviously if it was a column, index, something else like that, it would have put that information in there. So that is how, that is, to answer your question, that is how you can make sure that you, A, don't deploy over someone else's changes, and B, just stop what you're doing and halt everything to find out what changed first. And it's, as you can see, it's very simple to find out what changed. Went ahead and figured that out for you right away and brought it back into the system for you. Now, if you're in an environment where your dev or dev and QA are on like a completely different domain than your production and you can't get to your production database, as long as you've got the data tier framework, or more simply, if you have SSMS 2012 or Visual Studio SSDT 2012 installed somewhere on a box up in production, that'll give them the executable. And with the executable, they can go ahead and fire off and generate these drift reports programmatically. And they will need the DAC pack there to be able to reference. But I put together an example for that, but it got very convoluted and complicated, and I decided that was a little much. So. But I do have another example similar to that that in, that involves some PowerShell. So let me go back over here for a second just to clean up my directory there and get rid of that earlier DAC pack. Looks like we've only got 10 minutes left. I've only got one example I want to make sure that you guys see before you go, but I think we've covered majority. I'm looking down my list of 97 different bullet points that I wanted you guys to all see, and I think we have gotten the vast majority of them. That executable I was talking about is in the, I should be able to blow this up so you guys can see it, program files, x86. That it'll keep it one color. Program files, x86, SQL Server 110, DAC, bin, and then it's SQL package.exe. So that's what you're able to use if you need to do it either programmatically or in a disconnected environment. Before I show you something on that one, questions about it? Does anyone besides that guy find the drift report useful? Yes? Yes, that's like the most hands we've seen so far all day. All right. Wait, I bet we can top it. Who's ready for lunch? No hands. One hand. What? Was lunch bad or something? All right, this guy's got a question. The version control is when it registers the data to your application. Excellent question. Well, great question, maybe. I don't have a demo for it, but I can show you exactly where it is. We've got the SQL Server Object Explorer that I mentioned earlier. Zoom in on that. And we can see that we've got, like I said, the local host. I've got that, my developer edition machine. And then we've got one called Projects. We take a look inside of projects, we'll see this AdventureWorks 1, AdventureWorks ADV works, which was what I was practicing on earlier today, and then the two versions of the MyCRM that I created while I was here. So it is keeping track of the schema inside of that local database, and so that's where it's going to be. It does tie it to your machine, and I don't have an easy, I should write a blog post about how to share it easily. So I've got a 12-hour flight back home or something like that. So I'll play around with that on the plane, see if I can generate some scripts for you guys. But that's a great question. It's keeping track of it locally in the local DB and with the metadata inside of that DAC pack, and it matches those up. And that's how it knows. Another question?
The drift report works across tables. Can you also reference data?
Reference data. So the question is, the drift report works across tables, objects, views, stored procedures, indexes, all that stuff. And reference data. So you're talking about like the data compare kind of stuff? All right, so I hope so. I haven't played with it because, like I said, I just got it. I'll go ahead and show you how to use that real quick. And I mean, it's real simple. Schema compare, I should be able to come down here. Oops. Am I in the right spot? Nope, that's not what I wanted to happen. Build a new solution. Why is it not giving me import? Oh. I practiced for this exact question, and I don't know why it's not. I'm going to have to just go ahead and show you on the blog here. Maybe I did something overly simple that I'm missing, but right. Dang it. I need to stay there in Schema Explorer and start from there. So I would come over here, zoom in, and then I can do my data comparison from there. Right. Again, I haven't played around with it. I'm excited to. It's finally here. We can, definitely want to get this, get the news out that it's here. And hopefully you guys are going to find it useful to have that in the solution. Again, one thing I want to call out, I believe on Adam's blog, Adam Mahood is one of the people who works on the team building this stuff for us. And let's see if I can show it to you. What's new in this version of DAC pack, you can see right there, 100 bug fixes. And I think they did the last build or the last release of it in like May. So like in about a month's time, maybe a little more than a month. I don't know exactly what day in May. They've got new features, data compare, some other stuff, and 100 plus bug fixes. So I want to call that out to say, go ahead and start using it. And if you find something that's broken or you find something that doesn't work for your scenario, especially if it's just something that's broken, go ahead to go on Connect or comment on the blog. They prefer Connect. And he's actually got a link to Connect down there. And go ahead and let them know that you found something broken, or tell them, you know, search Connect, see if there's someone else who needs a feature, and, you know, upvote it. It's really important to upvote things on Connect, because that is their one of their number one ways of getting information about what people want. So, more questions? All right. If you have more questions, I'm going to be down at the SQL Server database booth in. In the expo hall for a little bit. Please feel free to stop by. I think I'll be there through the end of lunch. So if you've got some more questions, you think of some while you're at lunch, please feel free to stop by. Otherwise, if you don't have a question today, let me show you. Aaron@sqlvariant.com is my email address. Please feel free to reach out to me and send me an email. If you didn't remember something, you get stuck, you're looking for a feature, let me know. I'll see what I can do. I'm always glad to help. And just remember, I'm on the other, I'm like at least 5 time zones away, maybe more. Don't forget that part, please. all right, and while I'm in here, let me show you one other thing. I was showing you where to go to get SQL package.exe. I put together a bunch of answers for it, and I just wanted to show you real quick before we leave you today. I've got my AdventureWorks over here. I cleaned up that directory, got rid of the DAC packs for you, so it's clean. I'm going to come over here, and I'm just going to go ahead and execute that. And show you that if everything works, it should go ahead. And I think I've got it set up to, I know I'm rushing through this. AdventureWorks 2012. Just go ahead and create a file for you. There it goes. And so there is, it's filling in that file, getting the schema for you, getting the data as well. So you can do that programmatically with a command line. It's ugly, I know, but, once you put it together once, you've got it. And then one of the other commands that you can see, this command was extract, right? Extract the DAC pack. This command here is drift report. And that doesn't make any changes, just gives you that drift report. And so that's how you can do programmatically, go and find out those database versions, see if anything has changed. I'll go ahead and blog this so it's out there in a working format. And then the last thing I wanted to show you is it's still running. Does anyone here do PowerShell? Anyone? All right, 2 people, 3. So I do a little bit of PowerShell, and I was able to, using the SQL Server 2012 features, it's finished. I'm going to go ahead and actually delete that. Between SSMS 2012 and PowerShell 3.0, just show you a cool little feature of it. Come in here, I decide I want to pick these 3 different databases and I want to generate DAC packs for them. Click OK, come over here, and it'll go ahead and rip through there and generate them for a. And, I did it, that allowed me to select them and then click OK. I didn't have to do all the ones on the server. Same thing with the drift report, I'd be able to do there programmatically, go pick the databases I want to get the drift report for, and then punch those out and have it generate, have it do the interrogation and then generate the XML file. And then I could email that to someone, or maybe, if I could figure out who did the change, maybe I could rip through there and in PowerShell, there's a restart-computer command. Maybe I could just restart their computer just to throw them off. That is all I've got for you today. So everyone, thanks for coming out. Again, there's online resources in the deck. I'll be downstairs, and I hope you got something useful out of it today.